Well, of course, today is St. Patrick's Day, and real big deal in Ireland, and even over here, it's on our calendar, and it's part of our Irish identity, and maybe your heritage is Irish. Mine's half Irish, half Scottish, rooted back into William the Conqueror and the Normans, but on the Irish side, I'm a Blaney. Blaney is pretty Irish, I think. My ancestors came over here during the potato famine, which was a terrible, terrible time. People were left to starve. It's basically the high and mighty wanted the land, and people were left to starve, just the way it all worked out. And I won't go into the story around that. But we want to get into the story around St. Patrick a little bit, because it's just such an incredible, awesome story. Here is a young man who, in the midst of difficult circumstances, hears the call of God, is converted, is transformed in his heart and inner life, escapes from slavery, ends up back in Britain, Roman Britain at the time, and follows Christ, and finally has a vision of people calling him to come back to them in Ireland. And so he prepares and goes. I was saying earlier, I have known men and women throughout my ministry as a pastor. Especially, I was thinking of one man back in Nova Scotia, telling me all about his calling, the calling of God on his life, to be a minister, a preacher, and a pastor. He never followed it up because of disagreements with his wife about that. And, of course, they had, you know, parents and that sort of thing that were in the ministry. They didn't want to go through the same thing. And I can tell you, yeah, it's like living in a glass house. Tons of criticism, all kinds of problem. But the worst of it was, this fellow was tormented for years, decades, inwardly, because he knew what God had asked him to do, and he never followed through on it. And, oh, that must be, it would be terrible as you get older to say, I know what God wanted me to do, and I didn't do it. What would God do with me if I had? What will God do with me if I had? Well, you know what? I can say to you this right now. If you're alive, and you wouldn't be listening to me unless you were alive or are alive. If you're alive, it's never too late to repent and say, okay, God, I am now your humble servant, what you want me to do. Now, of course, probably the path you would have to take at that moment now would be maybe different than it would have been 25 years ago. But nevertheless, you can get things straightened out with God today and resume again to do everything God has in mind for you today. Very important. Now, as you're thinking about the life of St. Patrick, what's interesting is, and I was sharing this earlier on today, that his parents and grandparents were all involved in the ministry. Now, by this time in the 5th century, 400 and something AD, the church could have been pretty formalized. But, however, serving Christ and being in the ministry was in his family. Apparently, though, he was not, as a young man, given completely to Christ. And when he was 16 years old, Patrick was taken captive by pirates, ended up being a slave in Ireland, which was thoroughly pagan. You know, the Druids and all that. Ended up being a slave, being a shepherd, and I guess during that stressful time, wouldn't you be crying out to God? Oh, yes, you would. Why am I going through this? Oh, God, help. Oh, Christ, if you're really there, help me. Help me if you're really there. Now, we pray that way, don't we? And in the midst of those prayers, Patrick gave himself to Christ. He repented. He tells about this. He gave his life to Christ and, thoroughly became a Christian. That's in his own testimony of what happened. He's a slave for about 6 years, and then there's a voice speaks to him, telling them that he would soon be free, telling them there's ship waiting, and he makes a run for it, has to travel overland about 200 miles, goes to this port, and finally persuades the ship's captain to take him and goes back to Britain. And he doesn't even get home as he's walking through the land. He had to go a long way to get back home, just about starving. He comes across shepherds and people with, you know, and the wild boars and all this stuff, and ends up leading them to Christ, and they highly respect him. Eventually, he ends up back home. But that's when the vision comes. The vision of these letters being given to him, calling him, saying, come back to us, come back to us. And so, ultimately, he makes preparation and heads back to Ireland, not as a slave now, but as a missionary, as one who's going to tell them about the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Yeah, isn't that great? Well, praise God for that kind of man who answers that kind of call. And you know what? This is still the same today. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I know young people who are feeling the call of God and knowing it out there. The Lord still calls. The Lord still prepares. The Lord still works. Wow. And by all accounts, Patrick had miracles in his ministry. And they even talk about the snakes being banished from Ireland, you know. And, of course, I said earlier, like, the secular people say, well, of course, there's no snakes in Ireland. There never was. How could it be that they were banished and that sort of thing? But the story goes something like that, that during a time of fasting and prayer and 40-day prayer, he was attacked. And with miracle power, he banished them, and they were gone. And what he talks about is not actually snakes per se, but what would be now known as dragons. And I believe absolutely the dragons lived up until recent time. Maybe some places are still existing. My own ancestor apparently killed one. The best documented dragon killing story in the United Kingdom was my own ancestor. But this type of lizard without legs called a slow worm or verm, or, you know, there's lots of ways. Now, of course, serpents were highly symbolic for the pagan religions. Dragons, serpents, you still see that everywhere. Dragons and serpents, and it's in the Bible too. The Druids had serpent symbols and all the rest. And of course, they're related to Satan and his power and that sort of thing. And so what did Patrick do? It wasn't just that people got saved and became Christians. The very spiritual life and atmosphere in the country was being changed. And this idea of the snakes or the serpents being banished, you know what? That could be like the devil is being driven out of Ireland. This just brings me to something here today. You know, I absolutely believe the spiritual atmosphere in Campbell River is being changed, because Christians, you and I, are anointed by the Holy Spirit. If you arise up and live and walk in that presence of God, which is in you, God will use you. It's just like when you feel that presence, it radiates around you, changes the atmosphere around you, and affects people and situations in life. I absolutely believe, as I declare on the radio here, the goodness and grace and blessings of God over our city, good things have been happening. And I thank you, Lord, for your love for Campbell River, because it's so huge. Thank you for loving Campbell River and blessing our city. And Father, may spiritual awareness and desire and hungering and thirsting after righteousness come on Campbell River in the name of Jesus. And people begin to find your love and the love of Christ. Amen. Yes, Lord, that's what he wants to do. Spiritual transformation. That's what started to happen with Patrick. That's what kept on going with Patrick. Kept on moving with Patrick. The Spirit of God used him. You know, there's miracles recorded for example, he was in one place, and as he would evangelize and travel back and forth, he would carry along a wood walking stick. And in one case, what he would do whenever he would come to a place and begin to evangelize, he'd plunge this walking stick in the ground. Now, this one place called Aspatria, the ash, it means ash of Patrick, it was an ash tree stick. He shoved this in the ground, and by the time he was finished there, the stick had taken root and began to blossom. Isn't that amazing? Yes, miracles. Miracles take place with Patrick. It's amazing. He was motivated by the love for the pagans that he had experienced when he was a slave. The love of Christ for the lost took hold of him and possessed him. The call of God moved him back to that place. And from the love of God, he begins to pour out that life. Wow. You know, in the Old Testament, the story of Gideon, you know, Gideon's the least of the tribe of the least of, you know, the of Israel and all of that. And he's down in the winepress, fearful of the enemy, pressing out the grapes because if he shows himself, they would come and raid and steal everything. And the angel shows up and all that and calls him mighty man of God. And he goes, what, who, me? I'm mighty man? But, you know, we're told that something happened with him was that the power of God's Spirit came on him. But in fact, the actual words there that are being used are, the Spirit of God clothed himself with Gideon. The Spirit of God clothed himself with Gideon. This is what happened to Patrick. How does this work? Do you want it to work in you? Can you imagine God puts out his hand to do something, and you're like a glove that he puts on, his hand at work through you? Oh, yes, God, I want, that's what he wants to do. I want it. I've experienced it. I want it again. I want it more. I want it all the time. I want to live in it. But I tell you what, you know, talk about the love of God that was poured into Patrick for the pagan Irish, that he would go back there. The love of God can so pour into your life that it's like you clothe the love of God. It's like the love of God is the hand of God, because God is love. And you're the glove on his hand, you. This is what it's all about, everybody. And so this mighty missionary Patrick is clothed with the love of God. Whoa. I just want that. I pray that for you. Pray that total yielding to you, to God. Total filling with the Lord. You know, I remember exactly that happening with the love of God in India. It was so intense and unbelievable. God so poured his love out for India into me that, yes, indeed, that's exactly what happened. He clothed me. How can I put it? His love was being clothed with me. It's like he put it right in. Oh, Lord, do it for people listening right now. May you have such an impact of the presence and love of God in your life. It's like your life is clothing the presence of God, covering the presence of Christ. You, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. Wow. Wow. This is what he wants to do. It's the story of St. Patrick. Incredibly awesome. And I'm looking here on Wikipedia, and you see there's churches all over Ireland supposedly founded by St. Patrick, and statues, and there's his tomb where he's supposedly buried, and lots of things like this because of the sheer incredible impact of Patrick on Ireland. Well, what more can I say? Because, well, it lingers even to this day. Even to this day, even right now, even here in Canada, here we are, thousands of miles away. Perhaps into your life, perhaps into your ancestors, certainly my ancestors, because Christianity is in my family's ancient history. And all I can say is, well, you know, praise God. Thank God for men like St. Patrick, but thank God for people like St. Patrick today, right now, maybe some of you.